Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Paris Dreaming, written by Katrina Lawrence and read by Ariannwen Parks Lockwood. The dedication reads, "To my parents for giving me the world, but especially Paris, and to my husband and sons for sharing the journey." Chapter 1. Fillette. Noun, feminine, little girl. In which, at a young age, I learn the values of liberté, égalité, fémininité. Parisians scurried past us on a rain-glossed Avenue des Champs-Élysées, hunkered down in thick woolen coats and nestled beneath berets, their layers of grey and beige echoing the hues of their midwinter city. "Smile," pleaded Dad, his camera poised as I shivered in pose by a shop window. We seemed to be the only tourists around that day as the world rushed by, and in a way, time did come to a standstill, because the moment Dad was about to capture on film would soon take pride of place in our family's gallery of iconography, those photos and paintings that capture the spirit of a clan, that tell its story to descendants. I'm the first to admit I have a tendency to read too much into a situation, to search for signs and symbols that probably aren't there, but over the years, that photo came to acquire near mythic status to me. When I look at the 5-year-old girl I was that day, I see a head that's shyly tilted down, yet eyes looking up with hope. As I'm standing at the intersection of hesitation and confidence, if I can take an analogy that far, the background seems somehow allegorical. For starters, there's the grand ascending avenue, suggesting life's journey to come, and there seems to be the promise of a happy ending, in the form of that glorious icon of Paris that is the Arc de Triomphe de l'Étoile. The city's triumphal arches were inspired by ancient Rome, when such monuments commemorated victory in battle, and as such ignited pride and patriotism. My dad has another theory as to their power. Surely such majesty literally lying at the end of the road encourages a city's people to aim high. Not much that my dad does is spontaneous. He's methodical and considered almost to a fault. So I've sometimes wondered if he art-directed that day's photo well ahead of time as a kind of visualization of his hopes and dreams for his only child. He was certainly chuffed enough with his artistic efforts to enlarge, frame and hang that photo in several places, including his office. "Oh, it's the little Parisienne," his colleagues would invariably exclaim on meeting me in person. At the time, I didn't really know what it signified to be à la Parisienne, but I certainly liked the sound of it. Most of my first Parisian memories faded, but enough remained suspended in a shimmering blur, like my souvenir snow dome with its frenzy of glitter swirling around a miniature Notre Dame and Eiffel Tower. For a girl living in the hazy humdrum of 1970s suburban Melbourne, Paris was a scintillating parallel universe, the place where everything shone, where every tilt of the head revealed a golden dome, glossy cherubs smiling down, or shutter-framed windows offering tantalizing flashes into chandelier-lit salons. Paris was my city of light, before I'd even heard the expression.